The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Hello and welcome to this very special edition of the EvoStick NPL show. Happy New Season Eve, dear listener at home. Coming up over the next 24 hours, we've got three very special podcasts, starting with this one right now that you're listening to. This one is a season preview for all the clubs who were in the league last season who have stayed in the league for this season. Coming up later this afternoon, if you listen on Friday, we'll have the NPL show preview for the new boys in town. Yes, all the teams who got promoted from Division 1, as well as the teams who, sadly for them, but happily for us, came down into the league from the National League. And later on Saturday morning, you can also hear an EvoStick Division 1 show special with a preview for the season in Division 1 North and Division 1 South. But before all of that, there's this one you're listening to right now, so enjoy. So welcome everyone to a brand new series and a brand new season with EvoStick NPL show. Boom! Hey. Welcome back to the Heat and Hop here in the delightful area of South Manchester.
Yes.
Award-winning Heat and Hop. And thank you to the Heat and Hop who've renewed our relationship for another year, and we're here throughout the whole season.
Does that mean we've binned off the award-winning magnet for good?
No, we're going back there for the Christmas special because they've got a fireplace.
Fantastic.
So, round the table, you've already heard him. Berkey's here from Radio Manchester and Hyde United's 26-0.
Hello, Ben.
We've got Roy Sewell here, the non-league legend.
Yes, good evening, Ben.
We've got James Hayes here from the NPL Facebook group.
Evening.
And if EvoStick gave out knighthoods, he'd be a lord. There he is, Sir Alan Alcock. Hello, Alan, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
How's retirement?
Going well.
Good. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Sounds like we're missing someone, by the way.
We are, we're missing a few people.
Don't forget me!
If you're missing Swampy, he's got a regular show on FC Radio called Red Rebel Radio. I saw his flat in Shanghai. It was like Pendleton Priest in Salford. It was but a bit taller.
and without any glass on the bathroom door.
Yeah. Also coming up in the show, we've got contributions from Mark Duffer, Lewis Cox, Andrew Snave, Robin Gray, John Dunham, Thomas Verheyne, and loads of other people, I'm sure. Plus your contributions from the NPL Facebook group coming up very, very shortly. But
we should have this overdone by, what, half past seven?
You know what? I am so looking forward to the edit on Friday morning. Right, so getting into this season then, we're going to be speaking about Blyth in a second with Andrew Snaith, but Blyth are the bookies' favourites. But are they just the bookies' favourites because they finished second and there's no one else above them for the bookies who can't be bothered to do proper research?
No, not at all, because they've recruited well, haven't they? They've got a couple of cup heroes from a couple of seasons ago back. And remember, they finished last season on more than 100 points and they've strengthened from then. This season, it should be Blyth's to go out there and win. Remember a couple of years ago when we said this is FC United season, if they don't do it now, they're never going to do it. Well, same again with Blyth, really, because they've got Hyde coming up next season, who are going to win the title. So they've got to do it this season. And I honestly do. I'll put a very early marker down and say Blyth are going to win this by 10 points.
Oh, no, really? Tom Wade, towards the end of last season, he had an air of inevitability about him. You could tell Darlington were catching him up, and they're not going to make that same mistake again, are they?
I think that they hit a little bit of a silly patch, didn't they, over a 4 or 5 game period where they struggled against the lower sides. If that hadn't have clicked in, it would have been their league, in my opinion. I think, you know, that's a learning curve, and maybe, you know, in the playoff situations, they were maybe still dwelling on that a little bit. My feelings are that's well and truly sorted now in their own heads, you know, their own mentality. And I also believe that Blyth, you know, will win it. But I also feel that Workington will push them very close.
Okay, right. Any thoughts on Blyth before we go to Andrew Snaith?
Well, I've got a thought on Blyth, because I think, like Berkey, I think Blyth are going to win it easily.
pressure.
I really do.
The pressure on them.
So welcome to this season's season preview for the North East. Hello, everyone. And obviously, we could have gone to Matt Carruthers, but we've decided, no, we're going to go to Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. Hello, Andy. How are you?
I'm not too bad, Ben. Nice to be with you, mate.
It's good to have you back. It's come around very, very quickly. Later in the show, we're going to be speaking about Whitby Town. But before that, it's to Blyth Spartans. Obviously, Blyth Spartans from Whitby is a long way, but what's your general opinion of the way Blyth are preparing for this season after last season's... well, it was a decent season, actually, for Blyth.
Yeah, absolutely. It just all came untangled at the end. It's all relative, though, Ben. They're technically a derby for us. They've been quite frugal in the summer. I think it's attracted a bit of criticism from Blyth fans that it's a bit of a common problem that they don't tend to buy big. They've been quite frugal, but they've kept, most importantly, the big players, the Robbie Dale, you know, he's the talisman and he's still there. They lost Aaron Weymouth to Darlington, but he then went and picked up an injury. And to be fair, Weymouth, good player though he is, he wasn't a huge part of Blyth's promotion challenge, in my view. So I think they'll be okay, and they'll be quite excited by the return of Jarrett Rivers, who you may remember from their FA Cup run of a couple of seasons past when they defeated Hartlepool. So I dare say it's fairly upbeat, but they've had a bit of a fractured preparation for the new season. They've had a few games postponed. They haven't played particularly high-quality opposition. They've had to take on local sides and their own under-21s. So I'm not sure how things will be at Blyth. They're still strong, but probably not the ideal preparation for them.
And it's a bit worse than that as well, because obviously John Cornforth, the assistant manager, has left as well. So Tom Wade is looking for a new assistant at the club. And do you reckon Tom Wade's up for it this season?
Oh, I'm sure he is. He's a good guy, Tom, actually. And he's actually brought his lad back, Matthew Wade, the forward. He's come back. He left the club at the end of last season. Just 2 months later, he's returned. I'm sure he'll be up for that. As I say, not the ideal preparation. They haven't just lost backroom staff. They've also been losing part of their media team as well, as I'm sure Mark will be aware. Some of the young men there, one of them's gone to Liverpool, one of the producers, and another's gone to West Ham. So, God, goodness me, they're obviously doing something right, but losing some key members of the media team as well as the management.
Who's that guy who's gone to West Ham? Just so I can give him a belt. No, I'm joking. Okay. I'm staying put, everyone. I'm staying put. So, do you reckon they're favourites?
Well, the bookies have gone ahead and done that, but then they always make the team that finished second the favourites for the next season. Not a lot of imagination there. But I'm not sure. For me, and it'll be a team we're going to talk about a little bit later, Spennymoor Town. Oh. Keep a very close eye on them.
That's Blyth Spartans. Good. Thank you, Trandishnave. We're going to come back to him in a second for Whitby Town.
Can I just say, Ben?
Yes, you agreed with everything he said.
Everything.
Good. right. So, the team who finished in fourth... There's no Salford, there's no Darlington. So, I don't know if the bookies have got them down as second favourites, but Ashton United were the team who finished in fourth. Do we think Ashton United are going to do the same thing that they do every year? Are they going to do the same trick?
No, I think they'll do a playoff spot again. I think they'll... One of the best signings that they've done is Gaskell. Mm-hmm. He will be a telling point for them. He'll score them goals. The lad can score goals from all sorts of angles and, you know, positions. He'll be a hell of a asset to them, and something that I felt that on occasions when they actually watched Ashton play, they were lacking, you know, a real explosive goal scorer.
They were a bit disappointed towards the end of the season, weren't they, in the playoff matches me and you saw. They were a bit, you know...
They were hit and miss, weren't they? I just feel that with Ashton... The quality is always on the edge. It's never actually full blown, if you can understand that terminology. They float in, they float out, but they have a resilience about them, and I think that comes from the management. You know, to be honest, you know, they instill a little bit of fight and determination. But they've added a little bit of quality to the squad.
There is a slight problem, but they have lost a couple of players coming up this season. Do you reckon that's going to impact them at all?
All depends on how they can perform with Shelton Payne, because obviously he signed for him as well. Glasgow, fantastic player for him. But again, Shelton Payne, as we know, likes to move about a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, is he going to stay there long enough?
That's what I mean. So it all depends if he can get... Because he did have a little bit of patch last season as well, where he actually stayed for about 5-6 months at a club. Can't remember who it was. Rami, was it? I remember.
Potentially. Hensford, wasn't it?
Hensford.
Hensford. He's been signed from Hensford.
Yeah. So obviously he's actually kept for a couple of months. So as long as he's happy playing football there, well, that's his problem. He doesn't like... He's got itchy feet quite a lot, and that can potentially go against him.
The thing with Shelton is... From what I hear, he likes the kind of managers who will put the foot down.
Yeah.
Not sort of people who want to pussyfoot around him a little bit and sort of mollycoddle him. He kind of likes being told what to do on the pitch. You go out there on the wing, run at him, put a cross in. That's all I need, thank you very much. And they will do that, Ashton. Yeah. I've no doubt about it at all, because their play generally goes through in the middle. Gary G, he'll bang it out to the wings, and one of the wingers, they'll run on. Yeah. Chadwick on one side, Payne on the other. And
plus, as well, they've got a signed a defender, Richard Smith, this season as well. Yeah. He's the ex-Rackley captain, and he's a player. He can perform at the back, but when he comes coming forward, he's obviously being an ex-captain. He's very vocal in his plays. He likes to dictate how the front goes. Obviously, he's not in that position anymore to be able to do that as much. But again, moving forward, he's got that ability there to potentially get a couple of goals.
One thing I've got to say about Ashton, though, is the traditionally slow starters. Yeah. So don't be surprised by October they're in 12th or something like that.
Do you not think with Ashton that they really need to step up to the plate and realise that they are a team that can be promoted? They somehow always seem to be just kind of behind what's happening. They, you know, when it comes to the big games,
it's a fantastic club. Whenever you go to Hurstcross, it's just amazing. It's a proper non-league ground, and it's clearly a ground with the bar and stuff that makes money. So it's believe.
Because perhaps they need to be a little bit ruthless. Well, whatever game it is, they've got to be on the metal and take every point they can.
The feeling is with Ashton, sometimes they get caught in two sort of meadows. And if I say this, their pitch epitomises sometimes their performances. Because at the start, at the start of the season, the field looks really well. But as the season goes on, it chops up a little bit, you know, and there's bobbly and what have you. And it's not really conducive to, you know, football from the back, but it is conducive to football at the front. So maybe a slightly longer ball and play football in your opponent's defending third, you know, could bring them more dividends.
You mentioned Workington. Now, Workington finished fifth, did remarkably well against Blythe in the playoff semis. When it comes to Workington, you mentioned you quite fancy them this year. Is this just old loyalties?
No, not at all. I think they made a really good signing in Killefin, the forward from Lancaster. And I wonder whether or not he's there to compliment Arneson, you know. And he's still an handful up top. I think they've got decent qualities. I think he recruits well. You know, up there, they have like a little pocket of their own that he pulls on decent players from that area, and I think they're well organised. They're an ex-league club, you know, as I've said in the past, and I think they hold those sort of qualities, you know, to good standards.
I know it doesn't mean much, but the gap between Blyth and Workington was 13 points. Now, if Blyth are going to do well, Workington have to do especially better than they did last season. Do you reckon they're capable of that, Alan?
They just seem to be kind of some distance away from everybody else, and sometimes you get an odd result coming from them and you just wonder whether or not it's the consistency of being able to cope with the travel. They certainly, as a club, should be looking for promotion this season, and I really wish them well because I like the people at Workington.
Especially after the season they had last season as well, with all the floods and that.
Well, even then, going back, they're a team that know how to perform when they're under a pressure. You've got to look at the last 3-4 games of last year and the playoffs. Obviously, they were about, if I remember rightly, 4 points off with 2 games to go, snuck in the playoffs and then knocked Blyth out in the semi-final. And as I remember from Burke's commentary on the last day of the playoffs, they didn't exactly go to Solvers just to be turned over. They just went out there to put, okay, they got their beat 2-0, but even then, they went out there to play football. It was only after the 80th minute it hit them that basically was staying out.
Now, the playoff race, oh, you were going to say something?
Yeah, well, I was just saying, I mean, you made reference to the bookies earlier on, and the fact is that Workington are only fifth favourites in the listings. One club we haven't mentioned is Hensford, who actually...
Oh, I've got my list here. I've got my list of... it's under a bracket called From Above. There we go. So that's Workington, that's Ashton, that's Blythe. Stourbridge. Now, we're going to be crossing over to Adam Parks in a second from Black Country Radio to hear his thoughts on Stourbridge this season. We should say on next week's Evo Stick Extra, we're going to be live from Warrington v Stourbridge, so we're going to be speaking to both clubs there. But Stourbridge... They're a club, surely, who are going to do well this year.
They've lost Carl Hartley, though, haven't they?
They have.
He was a talisman up front, the NPL Player of the Year, the NPL Fans Player of the Year. He was absolutely huge from last season.
We should say, he's gone to Mansfield to become a coach.
Yeah.
And he's a cracking lad, isn't he?
Yeah.
And we wish him all the best as well. So, but yeah, they have lost him.
And, well, obviously they've replaced him, but have they replaced him with enough? That's the thing, and that remains to be seen. We've still got Chris Lay out there as well. He's a cracking player at this level, and the burden's come onto his shoulders now this season, I think. And if he can step up to it without his strike partner there, then Stourbridge are going to have another very good season. But other than Blythe, who I think are going to win by 10 points, I don't know if I mentioned that. I think the rest beneath them, it's going to be so, so tight.
Yeah,
I haven't got a clue who's going to go up.
So, Stourbridge. Now, when it comes to Stourbridge, there's only one place we can go to, and that's Adam Parks at Black Country Radio. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Hiya, Ben. Nice to speak to you again.
So, we're recording this on Thursday evening, and you're there at Stourbridge now. It's all part of the press gathering, so if you hear laughter and that kind of thing, it's a series of journalists and club officials networking with one another, essentially, isn't it?
Well, basically, it's the club photo and the team trying to get themselves in some kind of order to have a photograph taken, which, looking at this rubble, might take a long time.
Now, when it comes to Stourbridge this season, is there a lot of optimism in the camp? I'd imagine so.
Yeah, you've got to have optimism when you just missed out on the playoffs last season. You had such a good cup run in the FA Cup last season. Stourbridge are going to be pushing for promotion again, and nothing short of the playoffs will do. But it's going to be tough. There are a lot of good sides in the Northern Premier League. Once again this season, it's a very tough league. And, Stourbridge are going to have to step up to the plate in order to get as far as the playoffs.
Now, there's the main headline from Stourbridge over the summer was obviously Mr. Hall going off to do a coaching job at Mansfield, which is excellent news for him, and all the best to him in that endeavour. How's Mr. Hackett gone on replacing him?
Well, he's brought in Luke Benbow for a start from local rivals Rushall Olympic. Luke was a player here before. And he's also brought back Calden Brown. Now, Calden Brown was in the side for Stourbridge until last season, where he picked up a long-term injury, but he's back here as well. And you put them with Justin Richards, who signed from Sutton Coldfield last season, and you've got a pretty potent attack threat, along with Chris Late on the left wing and Matt Dodd on the right wing.
Now, Stourbridge, the last time I interviewed Gary Hackett was towards the end of the season, and I asked him, would you like to go to Wembley or would you like to get the playoffs? And I think he said Wembley. I might be wrong about that. That might be the Nantwich manager. But there was a distraction there with cup competitions last season. It's all about the league this year.
No, you're going to take a cup run if it comes your way. The fact is that the Stourbridge done very well in the last five or six seasons in the FA Cup. They've made a lot of money out of it. They've turned this club into a well-supported club now, with an average home gate of 650. It's just raised interest in the club. So you're always going to go for an opportunity of a good FA Cup run. And the league is equally as important, because that's the bread and butter. And I know Gary Hackett would be here if he didn't think there was an opportunity to get promoted out of it. So, yes, it's onwards and upwards as far as this club's concerned.
Fantastically decent, this stick's like. From Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
I've got this list here that I'm just ticking teams off, and I've got a bucket of teams here, and they're all quite capable of finishing the playoffs at least. The next one is Nantwich. Now, Johnny Crowther sends his apologies from Redshift Radio, but we'll definitely be hearing from him during the season. And Nantwich, last season, they didn't expect to finish in the playoffs. They just wanted to see an improvement from the year before, and they certainly got that.
Yeah.
So this season, they want progression. Yeah. Are they going to get progression?
Well, they seem to have had a huge clear out of players as well. So a lot of that teams ended up going to North West Counties, bizarrely, or into the first divisions. So they've shown the intent there, and again, start of last year, they proved that they could compete.
I think from memory with Nantwich, they had a really deep squad last year, and it was filled, well, yeah. And they had a lot of young players. So when you see players going to the North West Counties, perhaps that's just the natural progression to allow the young players to come up, perhaps.
Maybe, but I disagree with Teagot there, saying that, oh, if you bring lots and lots of players in, It disrupts things.
My feelings are, and I've actually put it down here on a piece of paper, that I feel that Nantwich will have a very similar season this year as what they had last year.
With FA Cup and FA Trophy distractions?
They were last year, definitely for them.
Because that was the thing that did it for them.
A little
really,
bit of glitter there, yeah, and a lot of paper talk, and, you know, they done really well, didn't they, you know. Let's be honest, and they maybe got a little bit carried away with it, and when that went out the window, they're left with the poor old league, like, you know. But the fact is that they'll replicate what they did last year in the league. And just coming up on a point that you said there before, Ben, like, you know, it is a very much of a muchness, you know, below maybe four teams,
yeah.
Where I feel that the likes of Stafford, Ensford, and Warrington, you know, they'll be there and thereabouts, and it'll be very, very close for me.
With Nantwich, I was just looking at the listings off the website, and they've signed Matthew Bailey from Telford, Josh Gordon from Wirral, Josh Hancock from Telford, and a couple of lads from Newcastle Town. Now, I don't know anything about those lads. I don't know whether you know, heard of them, Roy, but... It's on the recruitment, there's a couple there from Telford, but
it's not really setting the world alight.
No, absolutely.
There are a lot of local lads, and they tend to pull on those, like Parky.
Because
you've got
crew connections, obviously, right? And Nantwich were trying to speak to the chairman last season. They were trying to feed into that a bit, and obviously get some, because there's obviously a lot of youth around that area playing football. Maybe Nantwich could capitalise on that. And
well, there's a few teams in that area that could capitalise on it, but at the end of the day, it's down to the players, isn't it? Really, to be honest, the link of that is obviously Steve Davis, with him being a manager there, like, you know, at Crewe and at Nantwich. But I think, you know, more so, my feelings are, you know, it's down to the players that he's brought in. He's brought in, you know, lads that... can perform and hopefully will perform for him, but he initially, what they wanted at the club was more of a local basis, you know, in that team,
yeah.
And that's what he's gone out and done for them.
Now I'm going to go and hit four teams in one go here, because and one of these teams I think is going to be delighted that I put them in this bucket, because normally we leave them towards the end of the show for a relegation talk.
Buxton.
It's your own fault for me, McKenna, for missing the train. Barwell, Buxton, Frickley, Rushall.
Frickley, they've lost a few players though, haven't they?
Tell me that now.
They're the team
you're
going to
do well.
I hope they do. You know, I went to Frickley for the first time last season,
and I
absolutely loved it to bits. I got swore at on the gate. I got swore at when I got in the ground. I got swore at in the bar. I got swore at in the stand. I loved it. It was brilliant. And the slag heap isn't a slag heap anymore.
It's a nice
country park.
Yeah.
With a weird sort of 3G pitch that slopes with the hill and the sideways.
Just for the local football club, so the kids can get used to it.
Excellent and all, by the way.
But as much as I love my time at Frickley, they've lost some big players there, especially Big John Cyrus at the back, who it was just an absolute colossus from. He's already gotten a score sheet for Altrincham, and he'll be a hero, Alty, I've no doubt about it. And I just don't think they will have replaced him in particular, but as well a couple of other players who were lightning up front, whose names I can't remember off the top of my head.
Thanks, Becky.
You're alright.
I think that Frickley will do their own, the normal job. I think they'll be hard to beat at home.
We're not saying relegation this year, though,
no,
are we?
No, no.
Is anyone you're saying?
Just to be contrary.
No, they'll be intimidating and they'll get enough points to stay up.
So, welcome to the show and a debut for Thomas Feeney from the non-league paper and from Radio Yorkshire. Hello, Thomas. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. How are you?
I'm all good, thank you. So, in the Division 1 preview that's going to be out on Saturday morning, you've got a load of clubs to talk about. But for this NPL show edition, we're just talking about Frickley Athletic. And Frickley Athletic had a phenomenal season last season, above anyone's expectations. Can they do it again?
Well, it's a tough question, that, because last season, I remember speaking to Carl Rose shortly after their seventh-place finish had been confirmed, and you know, like he said at the time, he couldn't believe they'd done so well. He got a load of players in. They gelled almost immediately. And I think that's the thing with Carl Rose. He enjoys getting players in from former Football League clubs. He enjoys that thing of taking a player in who maybe has been told he's not good enough and just rebuilding the confidence. And, you know, last season, the example has to be picked out of Jacob Hazel, who had an incredible run, was man of the match in a lot of their games, and he in the end has earned a move to a division against Gainsborough Trinity. So it's one of them where Carl Rose is happy to do that, and interestingly enough as well, he's not prepared to stand in their way. So if a team higher up does come in for a player, he will let them go. And I think Carl Rose is someone who, you know, he enjoys that. I've spoken to him a few times about that process, and he's going to try it again this season. Will he have the same success? I'm not too sure, but I don't think there'll be any threat of relegation. I think it might more be mid-table rather than be pushing for the playoffs.
And is that something that everyone at the club would like? I mean, the last time I went there was a couple of seasons ago, and you could see that the town was slowly starting to transform itself and reinvent itself. The ground obviously has had a few improvements last season as well. Is there a plan now to kick Frickley on over the next few seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is, there's that feel-good factor at the club. Where, you go to a club, you talk to different people, and you can just tell they're all singing from the same hymn sheet. They know what the plan is, and Carl Rose will get, you know, players in who maybe haven't been able to make the cut at a League 2 side or a League 1 side, and he's able to bring them in, and it's just the way that he manages them. I'm not sure what his secret is. He says that he puts an arm around the shoulder, you know, he's very hands-on when it comes to the coaching side. But I think the plan for them is, you know, you'd say it's progression in one way, but then you look at the division and you think, you know, it's going to be a very tough division once again. Last season, all the major signings worked. This season, the question is, will it? But for me, with Frickley, it is a team that really is on the up.
Tom, thanks for coming on the show to talk about Frickley. Just a plug, it's Thomas Feeney, at Thomas Feeney on Twitter, and Radio Yorkshire. What kind of coverage do you do on Radio Yorkshire for the NPL?
Well, Radio Yorkshire, it is a couple of interviews most weeks, to be honest with you. You'll be hearing from the likes of Carl Rose. You'll also be hearing from Chris Hardy, the Whitby boss as well, getting their thoughts after the games and also previewing matches as well.
Well, thanks for coming on the show this week, and we'll be hearing from you on the Division 1 preview out on Saturday morning, Tom. So thanks for coming on.
So that's Frickley. You agreed with everything he said.
Well, the thing is, one thing he didn't mention was that
Frickley.
One thing that he didn't mention, Thomas, there, was that it was the first time in, what, 20 seasons that Frickley had finished in the top half.
Oh, I'd love it if he says that in this first sentence. I'd love it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ben, one thing that he mentioned that I think was a really salient point was that it was the first time Frickley finished in the top half of the table for 20 years.
Right, so a couple of other teams who were mentioned earlier was Barwell. Phenomenal, right? They've done so well since they've come into the league. Can they do the same trick again and perhaps kick it on?
I'm not sure whether Barwell, to use your words, kick it on. I think Barwell will just be Barwell. I think they'll be there, not under any pressure as far as relegation's concerned, but I think they will always be looking up to the other teams as far as playoff promotion.
Could they not be the new North Ferriby, though? They remind me of that kind of team. They're from a very small place. They play functional football, but effective football.
What about Buxton?
I'm going to bring Bower and Buxton both into the same bit here at the moment.
Because
looking at last year's table, and outside in the top 12, seeing as I can't say this in the first couple of weeks in the on the extra show, they lost pretty much the same number of games as they won as well, so there weren't a lot of draws. And that's where what can make and break your season as well. Buxton especially, 21 wins, 21 losses.
Joking aside, I'm getting fed up of saying Buxton, my picks to push on. Buxton are a decent-sized club. They should be doing better than they have done in the last couple of years.
I would say they should be doing better than they have definitely.
Kind of starting to question this now, don't you? Because it's been a few seasons now where they haven't really challenged for the playoffs and where you'd maybe expect them to. Really, Buxton, you know, pull your socks.
Last year he did have a few key injuries as well, but still, with the fan base that's available...
But what about the year before and the year before?
Yeah.
So, you know, they replicate the seasons, to be honest. They don't always gel together. I feel that's one of the problems. You know, they seem to pick and choose, you know, what teams they're going to actually fight against and what teams they'll fold against. And that's why you tend to get maybe 45-minute performances out of them, where they perform absolutely unbelievable for the first half and then so poor in the second half, you wouldn't believe it's the same sort of players. But, I mean, that's what he needs to sort out as a manager, and hopefully he can do it, you know, because, like I say, I know Martin, he's a good lad and he knows his football.
Now, in a second, we're going to talk about some of the teams in the West Midlands, because despite the fact that this is the Northern Premier League, there's a lot of teams in the West Midlands and a lot of teams in the East Midlands. We're going to be speaking about Rushall Olympic now, but you said something interesting to me off air about Rushall this season, which not many people might not know around this table. Go on.
It's basically their new management committee for this year. It's basically John Allen, the chairman's taking the helm for at least the first part of the season anyway. Obviously, when it comes to football chairman, who knows nowadays? I mean, we've got, for Athlete's case, we've got England players chairman now, but yeah, that's interesting. But again, I think he's done it in the past as well, hasn't he?
Yes.
So, and they're not tending to have done as bad, but again, depends what he's. I don't even know what's gone on there. I was only told it living last like 15 minutes.
Here we are. And do chairmen make good managers, Roy? Sorry, that's popped in my head then. Anyway,
Dave Pace thinks they do, yeah. Listen, you know, at the end of the day, it's down to time. If you've got the time to commit yourself to it, then by all means, get on and do it. The one thing I have found about chairmen is they don't always like the criticism that goes with the job. Footballers have managed it. Footballers get on with it. And you usually find out that the footballers, you know, the managers are ex-footballers. So they're used to it. Other than that, all the best to him, and hope he enjoys the criticism.
Okay.
Just ask Roy. I mean, it's interesting that John Allen, and you know, we know John, and a decent guy, but really, in today's football, and I'm looking at you, Roy, really, it's the coaching, it's the way that the players and the modern coaching and the people that have done that, you know, done all the different coaching courses and what have you, which, you know, they've all concentrated on over the past 3, 4, 5, 6 years. So I would suspect John hasn't been on all these courses, you know, the UEFA B and what have you. At our level, do you believe that it is important that the club should have UEFA B coaches involved with the setup?
I think whether you call them UEFA B, I just feel that they definitely need to have a footballing knowledge and a tactical knowledge. Yeah, it just so happens you put it under the title of you know, UEFA qualifications. You know, the C, B, and the A.
And the pro.
Yeah, and the pro license as well. Yeah. Now the thing is, like I know, if I'm not mistaken, Gary Flitcroft hasn't got a B licence yet, a very accomplished manager, and that comes from basically because he has a good football knowledge as well. What I would say is that if you have a good football knowledge, it definitely holds you in good stead, and through the qualifications, yeah, that does give you a great insight into how to organise things and to maximise, you know, the qualities of the players that you've got. So it's a definite that I feel it's an additive, you know, to the quality of the team and the way they play. But I also feel that a good football knowledge, and I'm not on about supporters' knowledge here, you know, there's a difference. A football knowledge is one that has passion and tenacity. They want the club to do well, and sometimes, you know, the heart will rule the head. I'm not talking about that sort of thing. I mean a good tactical knowledge where you can change a formation, bring a player on, take a player off to maximise, you know, the qualities that you've got on the field. A lot of chairmen do not like criticism, and that's the biggest thing he's going to handle.
Now, we're going to go back to talk about Sutton Coldfield. Now, anyone around this table going to mention Sutton Coldfield for relegation this year?
Yeah, me.
Oh, Birke. Thank you, Birke.
There's all this shenanigans about their pitch, isn't there?
Yes. They've got to play the first few games at Eastwood, I believe.
Yes. I mean, never mind that it's a bit of a way away. It's not at home. That's the thing. Essentially, we'll be playing a few games away from home and then a few more away games because they're actual away games. And of course it's a disadvantage for them. They didn't set the world alight last season. They did pretty well though. They really did. Most of us here said Sutton Coldfield would go down last season.
Yeah,
and most of us were completely and utterly wrong. And you know, they did well to stay up. It's going to be even more of a struggle this season. I don't know what the arrangement's going to be like with the revenue from the gates, from the bars, and this, that, and the other either, but it's going to put them at a big disadvantage.
Alan, I'm going to come to you because I read your Facebook post before.
Yeah.
It's a relatively new thing, this 3G business, and Hyde have jumped on this bandwagon, and Murphy Tydfil have made a great success of it, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, you can use the pitch all the time, but
You can't.
So yeah. It's one of them things, isn't it, where clubs now have to start thinking about not just the long term, but the medium term.
You know the play.
Yes.
And you've, really, what I said on Facebook was that I think some clubs believe once the 3G is down that you can, if you could get teams to play on it, you could play on it 24 hours, 7 days a week. And that's far from the truth. And really, your business plan, first of all, needs to ensure that you've got the money to maintain the pitch daily.
Yep.
And you've got the money in the pot to do the annual maintenance ready for the UEFA tests, etc. And I believe there's a good number of clubs in this country that just believe it to be a cash cow. And anybody that thinks that is going to be in trouble after a few years.
Well, we wish them all the best of luck getting that pitch back up to where it should be. Now, we're going to go back to Adam Parks for my next section, which is starting off with Hales Owen. And his views on how Hales Owen Town are going to do this season.
So we're back with Adam Parks now from Black Country Radio, and we're here to talk about Hales Owen Town now, Adam. And Hales Owen, they had a decent enough season. Is it another consolidation year for Hales Owen?
I think that's the only way you can look at it, really. John Hill did a magnificent job last season, basically building up the squad from nothing on two separate occasions and still managed to get as good a finish as he did. So I think, unfortunately, the pre-season form has been a little bit ropey and I'm a little bit worried going into the start of the season. But, you know, over the space of the amount of games that they've got to play, there won't be any relegation issues, I don't think. And, you know, fingers crossed, it will be at least a mid-table finish for them.
Now, when it comes to Black Country Matters, the West Midlands, there's only one radio station in town, and obviously you cover the Stourbridge matches, but also there's a bit on Hales Owen as well. Where's the best place to go, Adam, for your West Midlands sports non-league kind of needs?
Yeah, kind of, and commentaries kind of thing. Yes, we work for a radio station called Black Country Radio, which broadcasts across the West Midlands on FM on 102.5 and also across the Birmingham area on DAB. You can also find us on online at allthews.blackcountryradio.co.uk. We have a Listen Live feature on there, and we also have our own Black Country Radio app as well, which you can download from your favourite app store and listen to commentaries on there as well. So plenty of ways to find us, and we'll keep Stourbridge Hales Owen promoted and keep the reports and commentaries going throughout the whole of the season.
Also in this bucket of as I said earlier, I've got Grantham Town, Marine, Matlock, Micklover, Skem, and finally we'll come to Whitby in a second. I just don't know what to say about these teams this season. If they're going to do, if any of them are going to surprise us, but all of them are capable of surprising us. I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, but when you said bucket of, do you mean the relegation teams? Is that what you mean?
I never said that, did I? That's your words, but,
Well, no, I'm just questioning you. Is that what you mean? Because to me, they sound like relegation fodder.
Okay.
And they are. You've got the bottom eight, bottom seven there.
Do you not think Marine should start fulfilling their potential?
Yeah. Oh, actually, yes. Yeah.
Marine. It's their history, and I know the people at Marine, and they want promotion. They're an ambitious club, but for whatever reason, it doesn't work. I think we've now got to watch Marine and say, come on, Marine, start fulfilling potential.
They've got a very good piece of the jigsaw in place, actually. They've signed Josh Brazel, right back. He can play centre mid as well if really needs be, and centre back as well. And he's a cracking player. Played, 80 games in the conference for Hyde. He knows his stuff. He's a very, very, very good player. And if he can't set him going forward, no one can.
It's not down to one man, though, is it?
No, of course it isn't. But
it's down to a unit. And what I'd say is,
they've always had great players.
Hey, they've always had a great manager as well. And to be honest, the last manager they had, that fulfilled that thing, Rolly Howard, is gone as regards football. He's in there, he supports them well. I see him regularly at the games. But the likes of him just ain't been around, for Marine to actually pull on and to add to their ambitions of doing well in this league.
And it's getting a bit, they're running out of time in a way, because it's getting a bit crowded in that Merseyside area. There's obviously FC Liverpool doing all right, and City of Liverpool have started up now. And
yeah, but they're still the Scouse National Non-League football team, aren't they?
You see, with Marine, I think it's interesting that come February time, unfortunately, they look as though they're relegation fodder. Yeah, they really look as one of the favourites to go down. Then they put a run. They put a run together. Last season, they won the Intergrove Dudes and Cup.
They sound like the Merseyside Frickley.
I know they were playing Scarborough, but they were amazing in that game.
Yeah.
Really good.
They played really well. And to be honest, they played really well when they played Hyde as well. Played them off the park.
That's right. Anyway.
Nice 9 o'clock traditional kickoff.
But that's what I'm saying about, because there's teams in there like Marine. Even teams like Skem, for example, and Matlock, you wouldn't be surprised if they did a Sutton Coldfield or did a Frickle Athletic and started to push on a bit.
Well, then Matlock, they're a team that, after a couple of years now, we need to be seeing what potential they can be doing, because we know they've got the ability there to go on a good run during the season. They've done it several times.
Look how they ended last season.
Exactly.
They just dropped like a stone, and you can usually use what happened last season or the last couple of months of the previous season to predict what's going to happen in the season that's coming up. And if you were to do that, you'd have to say Matlock are absolutely doomed. But they can't be, surely. They've got too much quality there.
And they've got a lot of quality off the field, at Matlock, to be honest, and that's what's kept them in the fight, year in and year out. What they've got to do is tie that into a football ethic, and a strength on the football field, that replicates what they actually do and what they have off the field.
I mentioned Skem, and who knows, eh?
Depends who on knows. What happens to the finances again, because last year was when they started not running out of money. That's probably the wrong term to say, but they had the troubles with the pitch. They had to develop to stay in the league as well.
Skem will replicate what they've done over the past two seasons. Tommy Lawson, they rely heavily on his knowledge of players to bring players in and what have you, and to knit those players together. And those things, they happen for short periods of time. I don't believe they'll be in the bottom three or four, whatever, but I do believe they'll be at the opposite end. They won't be chasing for playoffs.
Now, I said who knows for Skem. What I should have done was save that for the next team, Ilkeston.
So, we're recording this next bit of the show on Thursday. It's 4:10 in the afternoon. Last night's pre-recorded show in the Heat and Hops was great. Especially the bit about Ilkeston. The thoughts of Roy Sewell and Berkey and Alan Alcock and James. They've never spoke so much sense about a great football club like Ilkeston and the season to come. And then I do this show throughout the week, do little interviews and stuff, and I potter around the house and stuff. So I'll go out shopping this afternoon, buy some milk, come back home, and all hell's broken loose just before I go on air to speak to the Ilkeston Advertiser's very own Mark Duffer. Hello, Mark, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm all good. So I've set the timeline there. I've gone out for milk. I've come back home. It's 4:10. I ring you up. There's a statement on the league website saying that Ilkeston have been... Is it temporarily suspended? I should probably read the statement, really.
Yeah, they've been
suspended, essentially, from the league due to... Well, what's the reasons?
Well, it's clear as mud in many cases, in many ways. Ben, to be honest, it's fairly standard stuff down there at the moment. You know, it's been a crazy few years, as you know, but this kind of made everyone stand up and try and work out what was going on over again, really. I mean, it comes down to the fact, a lot of it's down to the fact, obviously, they sold Che Adams to Sheffield United a couple of years ago. He's now been sold on, as I'm sure you've seen, to Birmingham City this week. And Ilkeston had a sell-on clause in that contract, in his contract, that means they are due X amount of money from that deal. Now, figures haven't been made public. Figures are... It depends who you speak to as to what they are, but yeah, they're due a reasonable chunk of money. And I mean, they're saying the figures that have been put out are way off the mark. I'm not sure. I mean, from what I've been able to gather in the past, the sort of figures that have been put out are reasonably accurate, I think. But again, without the clubs having put out what the transfer fee was, it's been very hard to ascertain. But nothing's been stated as fact. So, but what's happened is a lot of people who Ilkeston or clubs, as they're saying, who Ilkeston clearly owe money to, have put sort of 2 and 2 together and decided that they must have quite a lot of cash now, and then they can therefore be paid what they're owed. That's in whatever way has resulted in a suspension from the league. I'm not entirely sure what triggered it exactly, whether there was a specific issue or matter that triggered the suspension, because that's obviously quite a major reaction to do that, especially 2 days before the start of the season. But obviously the club have come out and tried to explain it to everybody and said that, you know, as far as they're concerned, this will all be cleared up, which I'm sure it will be. I don't doubt for a second that they'll be able to clear the debts or provide proof that they can do that. Obviously, as far as they're concerned, they want to make sure that's cleared by the, well, as soon as possible, given the season is about 48 hours away. So, I mean, we're just hoping now, I think, that everything gets cleared up quickly and that Saturday's game goes ahead, and that obviously long-term, or even short term, everything settles down again.
Well, evostickleague.co.uk is obviously the place to go for league statements, and it's a brief statement, but they've basically said that the club will not be able to participate in any footballing activities from this date, Wednesday the 10th of August, until such time as all of the breaches have been resolved to a satisfaction of the Evostick NPL. But the club statement then goes on to say that they hope to clear these matters up and get the club back reinstated before Saturday's big kickoff. And as I was trying to bring some light to the proceedings earlier to mention the fact that what the lad said at the Heat and Hops last night about Ilkeston's chances, it was all good stuff. Unfortunately, that can't go in the show because it wouldn't seem right. But are you hopeful for this season with regards to Ilkeston on the pitch?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still cause for optimism there. I don't think there's anything really, even with this issue, I don't think there's any reason it's going to affect too much. I think if it gets sorted, they'll go on. They've got a good squad together. Paul Holland obviously took over after Andy Watson left at the end of last season. He managed to bring in some good experienced player coaches in Liam Hearn and Luke Foster, who are both got great experience at higher levels. And I think, again, the youth will be a big part of what they do, although they have tried to bring in a bit more experience this time around. I don't think they wanted to go quite as young throughout the team as they have done last year, because obviously at one point last year it was looking a little bit hairy as to whether they were going to get even stay in the division. So I think they want to make sure that they've got some more experience through the team if they can. But yeah, I mean, the way the club is being run, and the Che Adams deal was hailed as evidence that the ethos they've got works, and clearly, you know, that has brought the club in some money, and that's what they want to do with other players in the future as well. In terms of the first team, in the here and now, I mean, I don't think they're necessarily promotion material as yet.
But they're not they're not relegation material.
They're not. Right? I don't know the relegation material either. No, and they could well be upper sort of mid-table, really, at the very least. I mean, I'd love to be wrong and love to see them go head for the playoffs, and the immediate sort of few games will tell a lot as to where they're at, because it's been very hard to gauge in pre-season exactly where they're at, given the nature of pre-season and kind of games they've played. But and this is why we're looking forward so much to Saturday, really, is because, you know, it's the first chance to really see where they're at against the side in Stafford Rangers, who have just come up. They're going to be on a roll. They've got a winning mentality, and it's going to be a fascinating encounter, should it take place, which, as far as we know, it should hopefully take place. But, yeah, I still think there's plenty of cause for optimism on the playing side of it.
I did say evostickleague.co.uk is the place to go to for all the latest on this issue, but actually that's not true, is it, Mark? Because there's a much more better news source who's got his fingers on that pulse at Ilkeston FC, isn't there?
Well, we're trying. we're doing our best, yeah. It's ilkestonadvertiser.co.uk obviously carries the latest at the moment, really. It's just a couple of statements grouped together, really, because we don't know any more than what's being put out, and neither the league nor the football club are willing to say much more about it. Yeah, it's all there. You know, it's all there together, and as we speak, we're trying to get more and more info. Really, it's going to be a question now of when things get sorted rather than anything else sort of adversely dramatic happening, because it probably couldn't get much worse than being suspended at this rate. So hopefully things will improve and we can report on that instead.
Well, fingers crossed that when this podcast goes out, that all this has been sorted. And when you're listening to this, dear listener at home, that this whole conversation me and Mark have had on Thursday afternoon was a complete and utter waste of time. But let's hope that's the case. Mark Duffy, you can follow Mark Duffy at Duffers Sports, of course, on Twitter. And Mark Duffy, thank you for joining us this week on the season preview. And we'll probably be hearing from you, I'd imagine, in the coming weeks.
I look forward to it, no problem.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Berkey highlighted the fact that my list of teams include, you said, does that mean the teams who are going to get relegated? Now, I've made an editorial decision, because based on the time that we've spent talking about this, I'm going to do a separate podcast for the new teams to the league.
Oh, wow.
All right? So that means we can end this podcast on Grantham and Mickleover and Whitby, because those are the ones who were toying with the idea of dropping into that relegation zone last season.
But they decided against it.
But they decided against it, for whatever reason. So they're in the league this season. As Roy rightly points out, it's going to be a very competitive league once again. Grantham, Mickleover, Whitby. We're going to speak to Andrew Snaith in a second about Whitby. What do you think?
Well, I've got a soft spot for Mickleover and I've got a soft spot for Whitby. There's your answer.
I'm not going to mention Grantham because, again, purely Berkey's just mentioned it there. But you look at Whitby and Mickleover, I think they got away with it a little bit too much last year. Because you look at the runnings of two other teams that went down towards the end.
The running Idad wouldn't have mattered.
Exactly. But even then, the performances, Mickleover, they had like four or five games more than everyone played. And still got out of the playoffs. They were second from bottom at the time as well, if I remember correctly. Whitby had the games in hand and went on that again. Last five games, they were brilliant. Unstoppable.
They did brilliant.
Yeah.
So we're gonna end this first part of our season preview with Andrew Snaith talking about Whitby Town and their new sexy Sampdoria home kit. It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah.
So here's Andrew Snaith.
So we can't mention Whitby Town without returning to Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. Hello, Andy. So Whitby Town. It was a tale of three seasons, I'm going to suggest, for Whitby. Obviously, a bit of a dodgy season before Christmas, then a bit of hope, and then a bit of towards the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fair summation.
I think that's a pretty fair summation. It's pretty typical of Whitby to start poorly and having to make up a lot of ground towards the end of the season. So we're used to that up here. It's been a decent summer. It's been quite busy. Chris Hardy going back to his former club, Gisborough, for a number of players. He will be disappointed, though, because what many fans viewed as the big signing, Ben Askins, the big centre-half from Doncaster Rovers, who some Salford fans might remember from the first FA Cup game against them. He came in very strong, big, strong, tall player, released by Doncaster, had his injury problems, and unfortunately, that's again proved to be the case, and he's likely to be out for a good few months due to a ligament injury. So that's a massive, massive blow. I think generally Whitby aren't going to be pulling up any trees and shocking anybody, but I think the squad just generally has been improved. Nothing incredible happening. Stephen Smith coming back, who you may well remember from a few seasons past. And it's a general improvement. Matty Tymon's come in from Workington. So again, it's just strengthening. And the football's been good. Just a little bit of criticism around the fact that we're not taking the chances, but we'll find out when the big stuff starts on Saturday at Eastwood against Sutton Coldfield.
And to be fair, I know we're talking about on the pitch, but can I just say something on behalf of most of the listeners? Your new home kit is very sexy. Can I say that? It's very nice.
You can.
Yes.
You can.
I like it.
We've had admiring glances, as you would expect, from Sampdoria, who we've borrowed from quite a lot.
Well, they're not suing you, are they?
No, not at all. But they're very happy with that. We've had some of their media guys in touch, and so that's always nice. But that's for anybody who hasn't seen the kit. That is what you should imagine Whitby's home shirt is: the Sampdoria blue with red, black, and white. But it's quite nice. We've gone back to horizontal from the sash design that we had last season.
And just lastly on Whitby, you safe this season? Do you think?
Oh, don't ask me that, Ben.
Okay, moving on.
Hopefully mid-table. I'll take mid-table.
And just before we go, Andy, just a quick plug for this weekend. Sutton Coldfield Town away for Whitby Town. It's going to be on Whitby Town Radio if you can't make it.
Absolutely right, Ben. Yeah, it's a change of venue as well. Sutton Coldfield having trouble with their artificial pitch. It's at Eastwood, which is also an artificial pitch. We'll be there. Nice short trip for us. It takes an hour off the journey over in Nottinghamshire. Yeah, you can get us via whitby-town.com. Look for the links there. And also look out for a new website launch as well. Paul Connolly's behind that. So that may well be in place over the weekend. But no problem finding Whitby Town Radio on that website. So tune in and have a listen.
So that is the end of this season preview 2016-17 for EvoStick NPL show for the teams who were in the league last season. That's all going in the title. Don't forget to look out for the new teams preview as well as the one for Division 1.
Are we doing that one now?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Can I have a wee?
Yeah, so thank you to Burke, thank you to Roy, thank you to Alan, thank you to James.
Facebook.com/NPL group.
Yeah, all that jazz. Don't worry, I'll put all that in the list. So look out for those extra podcasts. Bye bye for now.
Yes, bye bye.
EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.